Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Lay everything on the altar and say, Lord, not what I will, but what you want. If you want me to go into business and make $1 million, and it can actually serve the purposes of your kingdom, fine. If you want me to be poor and look to you for my daily bread, praise God. It has nothing to do with the values of this world. I want you and I want you alone. I understand this understanding of what the world even exists for is what defines my whole thinking and my way of life, my approach to life. God help us. And so he was submitted, wasn't he? There was a submission of the Father, of the Son to his Father's will at every point, all the way to the cross, where he laid down and he renounced the world. You think of others in Scripture who are held up as examples. Abraham. God allowed him to experience a lot of things and even become rich. But that wasn't what defined his life. It was a confidence in a God who had spoken. He believed him. And all of, and whatever he, whatever the Father, whatever that God said, he did, and he believed it. Why? Because he was looking for a city, we're told in Hebrews 11, whose builder and maker is God. A city with foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That defined everything. He didn't say, well, let me think about how I'm going to do this. Let me think about what I want here. No, it's all about what he wants. Do you believe God has your best interest at heart? Has he made you because he loves you and wants you to know him and wants you to experience the amazing things that he has planned? Praise God. I know that this world is full of people who are going to perish. But Scripture tells us God does not rejoice. There's no rejoicing in God's heart over sinners that perish. There's always a heart that reaches out. No one's going to stand there in that day and say, you're not right. You didn't do right. You didn't give me any chance. You didn't care. Oh, he cares. Oh, he cares. That's his heart. This is not some crime boss in the sky who wants to knuckle us, you know, cause us to knuckle under because we're afraid of the consequences. This is a God who wants us to understand that our ultimate best interest is to humble ourselves, to allow our minds to be changed so we're not conformed to this world, but we're transformed into being like his Son. You think of the purpose of God and how it's expressed in Paul's language. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, of those who are called according to what? His purpose. We need to lay down our side, lay aside all of our purposes and trust in him. But what is that purpose? Those he foreknew, he knew about ahead of time. What? He called us to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, the Son, might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Praise God, you have that same thought about a family that God is building. So the central characteristic here is you have a Son who was willing to come down here in a world of opposition that came from within and without, and to say, nevertheless, there's one thing that defines my even purpose for being here is to serve him and to agree with him. Submit myself to him. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, Peter says, and he will lift you up at the proper time. I'll tell you, the ultimate fulfillment of that is when we're lifted up on the other side, when he's done. Because like John says, we know that when he appears, we will be like him. We'll see him as he is. There's a work that God is doing in every one of his people that's getting us ready for that. That's what it's about. Life is not about the issues that we have here. God wants to steer us through every one of those with a heart that says, Lord, I'm submitted to you. Your plan, not mine. So that tells us a little bit of what he did. But is there not a lesson in how he did it? That's where the lie that we sometimes are prone to think comes into play. Was it no big deal for him because he was the Son of God just to do anything that he was supposed to do? No. He came down to a place of weakness, of dependence. Did Jesus mean it when he said, I can by myself do nothing? Let that sink in. Here I am committed to doing the Father's will, but I do not possess the ability to do his will. That's a tough lesson to learn. You know, again, we have the Peters of the world who just tell me what to do and I'm good. And God had to allow him to fall head first in the mud and realize this is not just about finding out what he wants and saying, I'm good, I'm going to do it. This is being delivered not just from what we think and what we are. This is being delivered from what we are. You can't get anything from Adam that's going to help you be part of this process. We're going to have to let Adam go. We don't have any strength, any willpower, any anything in what we've got from Adam that's going to be, help fulfill this process. We need divine help for everything. God wants us to get up in the morning with this sense that, God, I want to serve you today. I'm trusting you. I'm not going to go out with anxiety. I'm just going to do what comes to hand, trusting you to lead me. You can show me one step or you can show me a bigger picture, but I'm not worried about that. But Lord, one thing I know, it doesn't matter what you tell me to do, I can't do it if you don't help me. And I'm looking to you actively. I am dependent upon you to do everything that stands in my path to do today. That's easily said. That is not a mentality that comes naturally. I know that's part of what the Lord was dealing with me in all this period of weakness about. We need to come to that place where not only do we realize that it's that way, but we're kind of okay with it. Now, is Jesus an example of this or is he not? Look at, you know, back at chapter 2, the phrase that we read. How did he offer it? Well, let me turn it back so I get it right. Yeah. Crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death so that how? How did he do what he did? By the grace of God. It's not just that he did it, it's how he did it. Is there a little bit of a lesson in that for us? Do we live by the grace of God, or do we just say, tell me what to do, Lord, and then it's up to me to do it somehow? Always, Lord, I come to you for grace. Isn't that what the throne of grace is about? We go there for mercy because we need it. But we also go there for the help that we need, the divine power that we cannot serve God without that. Jesus could not do what he did except the Father did it in and through him. It was by the grace of God that he was able to do what he did. He never approached life with this sense that I'm the Son of God, I got this handled. There was this constant sense of dependence. Father, I need you to tell me what to do, but even when you do it, I understand I can't unless you give me your strength and your power to actually do it. Is that kind of a lesson for you and for me today? Oh my God, help us to get that through our heads and learn it. Because we are so full of human energy and human, you know, all the things we got from Adam again, they can't help you. They can't help me. And if God sometimes has to bring you into a place of weakness and need, is he doing that because he's mad at you or because he loves you enough to do what we need, what needs to be done? Oh, how we fight and fuss. Oh, how we resist the simple things that he seeks to do in us. May God help us. I just feel my own need You know, who am I to be standing up here and saying this? I need it worse than most of you, I think. But the truth is, we all need it. We all need to see more clearly what this is about. What is this world really about? It's not about what happens here. It's about a people that absolutely make choices to serve God, but they understand the only way I can do that is His life and His power. It's grace. It's divine power that enters me, and by that strength, I can be someone different. I can actually not only understand differently what God wants me to do, but I can actually do it. Well, is Jesus our example in that? Again, yes. He was not able, would not have been able in Himself to do anything that the Father wanted Him to do had He not relied completely upon His Father. That's a humbling place, but it's a wonderful place. It's a place of rest. When we realize not only is that how it is, but it's because He loves us. And He's more than willing to give us whatever it takes to serve Him and to please Him. Oh, what a rest that brings if we can come to that place of surrender. So there's a surrender, there's a dependence that is so central to serving God. But one of the things that drew me to Jesus as the example and what God is really trying to accomplish and how that is meant to play out in our lives was what it said back in chapter 1 about you loved righteousness, you hated wickedness. Because our emotions are part of the picture. We're not just machines. We have emotions. And how many of you think that God wants us to live miserable lives, trying so hard to serve God, messing up, doing it anyway, even though we don't really want to? It's kind of quiet. I think you get the point. God doesn't want a people who serve Him with grumbling and complaining and reluctance and secretly wishing we could, but knowing we better not. You know, Brother Cimbala last week talked about coming out of Egypt and some of the effects of the world and how they can get a hold in our lives. God help us not to have these attachments to the world. God is looking not just for people that He can bring to a place of submission and obedience, but not really happy about it. He wants us to get to the place where we see with clarity what He wants me to love is the greatest source of peace and joy. There's nothing I can do here that will really satisfy this. I don't care. You know, you have the expression of when someone just strives to get there all their lives, I'm going to get there. And they get there and there's no there there. There's nothing in this world that will ever scratch the itch that God put down in here. God longs to bring us not just to this place of grudging submission, but a place where we see with greater clarity what really is worthwhile.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.